We are speaking English again today because we have an international guest here on the New Realities podcast. And with her, I'm talking about more equality and inclusion in the workplace. That's what a lot of companies are trying to achieve now. But the workshops that are supposed to contribute to this don't always have the positive effect that one hopes for. An augmented reality app that our guest is building aims to change that.
You need to be constantly in a similar situation. You need to be aware of your unconscious bias at a constant pace. And then hopefully, we're doing research on that as well. When you do that repeatedly, things are changing.
Hi and welcome to New Realities, the podcast by 1E9 and the XR Hub Bavaria. In this podcast, we want to present new realities to you. That means projects, ideas, concepts, and products in a virtual, augmented, and a mixed reality, or in short, in extended reality. My name is Wolfgang Kerler. I'm the editor-in-chief of 1E9, and for this episode, I talked to Wendy Brüersen from the Netherlands. She's a serial entrepreneur, has won a number of awards, had her own Dutch TV show, and now she's the founder and CEO of a company called Superwomen Academy that helps companies to attract, retain, and develop their female workforce. Right now, she's also developing an unconscious bias training in AR for another company she co-founded, Buster. How Wendy plans to use and is already using VR and AR to promote greater equity, inclusion, and diversity, that's what it's all about now. Let's go. Wendy, great to have you with us today. Before we talk about AR and VR and all the great things that you're doing for your job, let's get personal first. I want to know, what unconscious biases did you have that you didn't realize until you started to look more deeply into the topic of unconscious biases?
Well, Wolfgang, I'm only human, so I do have unconscious biases as well. One of them is that I assumed that everybody that has like higher education, like university or similar, would know a lot about other things than the specialty that they did on university. And so, because most people do that, they regard those people as being very intelligent, but it doesn't mean that you know everything or a lot about a lot of things. So that's one of the things. And the other thing I have to always correct me on is to not fill in how women think about men stuff. So, for instance, automatically assume that most women don't want to have a job which takes them abroad for a couple of weeks and then a couple of weeks at home, which maybe sounds really a bit weird coming from me as a woman. But it's not very common that women do that. And therefore, I automatically assume that they're not. The first reaction is that they're not going to be interested. And then my second reaction is always, but if they have a great partner, why not?
But you definitely know about your biases, or you thought about them a lot. And that's why you can, you know, analyze yourself like this. And
well, I tested them too, you know. You can test them online with the Harvard test. And there's a couple of bias tests that you can do. They're not, I mean, it'll give you a rough picture on where your biases lie. Yeah.
And there's, of course, a reason why I ask you about your personal biases, because one of your most recent projects, and you have a lot of projects, but this one deals exactly with that, with unconscious biases of people. Because you co-founded a new company that's called Buster Company, and it has developed an augmented reality application that you call sometimes, I guess, the Bias Buster. That's what you told me. And the Bias Buster is aimed at companies that want to do something about inclusion and diversity in their workforce. Why is it so important for employers and their employees to actively address their biases?
Well, you don't want to work, nobody wants to work for a company where you cannot be your true self. it would be great if you could just be your true self, be promoted accordingly, be visible, see the possibilities, get possibilities. That would be awesome if you could do that. But unfortunately, that's most of the times not the case yet. And luckily for all of us, not just me, but mostly for all of us, is that companies are realizing that it is very important to bring your true self, because then you also bring 100% and not just 50 or 60 or 70%, which most people do. Because if you truly love what you're doing and you can put all of you in that project or in that work, everybody will profit from that. Also, companies invest in this because research has shown that if you have a diverse workforce, the decisions that are made are better decisions, especially if you cater to a diverse client base. Also, the productivity goes up. The teams are more innovative in their solutions. And last but not least, and especially in this market, where just personnel is scarce, personnel or employees that are engaged don't leave. And they even attract other great employees. So a lot of business reasons why you should invest in it, and also human reasons why you should invest in this.
So it's good for people and it actually pays off. That's great. And, you know, companies have recognized this for quite some years, not too many years, but let's say quite some years. And workshops have been around to get rid of biases in the workforce, in the management. So what's wrong with those workshops, those programs that already existed, that an AR app from Buster Company was needed now?
Well, it's good that you ask, because the reason why I developed all of this is because I got the question. We do all these courses. Most of the times they do an unconscious bias course or workshop, and then they immerse themselves in unconscious bias, what it is. They discover some unconscious biases themselves, and then nothing changed. And that, of course, is not what they were aiming for. They want people to behave differently, to act differently, and hopefully think differently, because unconscious bias takes a hold of you when you're under stress or under pressure. And so it's a fundamental change that you're looking for. And so I dived into behavioral change and how that can be achieved, because it can be achieved. But it's not going to be solved by doing a workshop of, like, say, 2 hours and then good luck with it. So it needs to be, you need to be constantly in a similar situation. You need to be aware of your unconscious bias at a constant pace. And then hopefully, we're doing research on that as well. When you do that repeatedly, things are changing. And so that's how our Bias Buster came about. It's an app that uses augmented reality, but it makes you aware of some biases that might be out there. And it also makes you aware about knowledge that you should know to give yourself a reason to act and behave differently.
Maybe you can tell us a bit more about how this works, how the Bias Buster actually works. How should I imagine this app? What do I see if I open it? What can I do with it? What can I experience it when I use it? And how do you make me keep on using it constantly?
Well, first of all, when you asked me to be part of the podcast, I couldn't rhyme the word podcast with AR and VR, because that's such a visual medium, you know. And so, but I'll try to describe what you can experience in the app. So the app will be available in the App Store and also on the in the Android version. And when you install it on your phone, you can open it up, and then you will be asked to place a portal. And so what it basically does, and what most AR does, is that you use your phone sort of as VR glasses. And I always explain to people that don't really know what AR is by, okay, it's virtual reality. And normally you use one of those headsets, you know, their glasses and everything. But in this case, you just plug in your earphones and use your phone as those glasses. When you enter our world, let me put it that way, and we called it Office Talk, by the way, and I'll explain later why. But if you get into it, you'll see a really cool, fantastically automated environment, an office environment, and you were asked to find clues. You're asked to look around for clues, and later on you get questions on what you've seen and what you've experienced. And one of the experiences in this virtual reality is a real life people, most of the times two of them, who are in a mini activity, and you can walk around them, you can see them, you can hear them talk, you can see what they're doing, and you're asked to assess that situation. And once you've done that, and we have now developed a series of four scenes, we call them scenes, and in those scenes, four different biases are addressed. And after those scenes, after you've played those scenes, because it's a gamification element in there, you have to find clues and everything, and you get rewarded for giving answers. It doesn't really matter what answer, because we don't want to be that person that says, "Ooh, you've done something wrong." We want to make sure that you really enjoy the activity. Then you get to the learning center, where you are walked through the situation all over again, where the clues are displayed for you, so you know next time where they are and what they are about. And also you get information about statistics on like, say, gender diversity or people with disabilities and so on. And when we're finished with developing, because it's the first stage, which is four scenes, we'll have 10 scenes. And those 10 scenes will be delivered to you in a certain pace. So, and that's the repetition that I was talking about, that you need to, you know, be active and engaged on this topic over and over again before something can happen. And the company can choose on what pace that is delivered to you. And you will get a notification when there's something new for you to see and to experience.
So just to get it right, if I open up the app, I see kind of virtual colleagues within my office environment in augmented reality. They talk about things and they show certain biases.
No, they're not showing biases. The question is asked. I'll give you an example.
Yeah.
Because that's easier. You will walk into this room where there's a woman and a man talking to each other and obviously making points, because the woman is, you know, counting points, and then the other one is reacting to it. And so the woman is in a flower jacket and the guy is in a suit. And the whole environment, there's two clues. I'm not going to say what they are, but there's two clues on how you can correctly answer who's the manager in this situation. And so if you choose either the woman in the flower jacket, you will get in the learning center later on, you will get a question, "Hey, you picked her. Why did you pick her?" Because it's very important that you give a reason why you picked her. Or if you pick the man, you will say the same question. And then after that, the learning center will show you that in this world, a third of all managers is a woman. So if you pick the man, you kind of have to come to a realization that there's only a chance out of three that you were right. If you pick the woman, it could be that you don't know this either, but you picked her maybe because your manager is a woman too. And so it's a soft nudge, we call it nudges, towards the right direction of thinking. Because nobody likes to be corrected and nobody likes to be wrong. what it also does is collect everybody that plays this app. It will collect the data in a database. And in that dashboard, which will be available for the company, they can see on a department level what scores are there. So it could be that IT department is slightly more gender biased than, like, say, the sales department. And that will also give the organization tools to maybe do something about gender diversity in the IT department, but address age bias in the sales department.
All right, now I get it. That's interesting. You know, even from a gaming perspective, that sounds like an interesting task to fulfill. But I wonder, why did you decide to use augmented reality? Because that makes it kind of harder to produce than just doing a 3D environment on a screen. Why did you choose AR?
Well, if you want to change somebody's behavior, the best way to do this is in a real life situation. But that's fairly impossible. And especially if you are an organization, like, say, with 20,000 employees, you don't want to just train the managers. You want to make sure that everybody displays inclusive behavior. So it needed to be a tool that can be delivered to anybody at any time, anywhere, for a small amount of money, because if you have 20,000 employees and you find a solution that costs $1,000 per person, you can imagine that they're not going to do it, because that would be, well, bad for budget, let me put it that way, and also bad for profit. And most companies and organizations do want to stay out of in debt kind of things. So that's one of the reasons. The other reason is I love VR. I will talk about it later. But VR has a big disadvantage, because logistically, it's a nightmare. You need to have very expensive glasses. You need to distribute them. And especially if you're 20,000 people, you cannot buy 20,000 glasses. Well, you can, but again, that's really not very profitable. And also, if you put people in a VR environment, it better be watched and managed. Otherwise, people are literally going to walk into a wall or hurt themselves, because they can't see and hear the real situation. So yeah, well, we all know really funny examples about that. There's lots of YouTube videos about that. So logistically and also financially, VR is just out of the question. And then the next one in line is AR, because that's very real life. And that's also why we chose the characters to be real life people and not actors or animated figures.
So they do look like real people, just like your colleagues.
Well, they are real people. They're actually volunteers that helped us. We filmed it in 4DR Studios, which is one of the few European studios that can capture a 360. That was an adventure in itself. Very expensive, by the way. But we capture so much footage that we can use them all over, every time again, in different situations with different hints and different clues. And so, although we only had 9 characters and we captured about, I would say, 3 situations per person, we can make endless combinations with those characters.
You have 4 scenes ready. That's the current development status. What's the roadmap? When will the full app be released? Do you already have a timeline?
The hardest part is over, because as you probably know, but in case the one who's listening doesn't, developing the app and also the structure behind it and the database and the dashboard and everything, we already developed everything. So the next scene should be available within a couple of months. And hopefully by the end of the year, we'll have all 10 scenes available for all the players.
Great. The Bias Buster and the Buster Company is not your first project that you've done to promote diversity and inclusion. Another company of yours, the Superwomen Academy, has also developed offerings for this. Why is this topic, or why are diversity and inclusion so important to you personally?
Well, as a person, I hate inequality of any kind. I've been in situations where I saw a lot of inequality. I've been a teacher in classrooms, but I've experienced inequality myself as well. I'm a woman, so let me put it this way. If you're a woman in advertising, that's not a very inclusive world, not at all. So I've been in many situations where I thought things were just not fair. And so as soon as I had the opportunity, I've founded my Superwomen Academy to do something about it. And then from there on, Super People Academy, and I'll try my hardest until probably I die. I'll die at one point, so yeah.
But with a lot more diversity and inclusion then, thanks to your work.
Yes, that would be great. I've got a boy and a girl, so I'm hoping and praying that I can do something about that so my children have a better world to live in. That first, of course, and then because I'm a mom and mommies always think about their children first. But in general, I would love to be, as a person, to be in a world where it doesn't really matter if you're a boy or girl or what color your skin or if, you know, the education that you had. I mean, some people like me have had a lot of privileges. For instance, my parents loved reading and loved nature. So I know a lot about nature. And they have encouraged me to read a lot. I don't know anything about music because my parents didn't do that and they weren't really interested in it. So I envy the people that, you know, are more developed in that area. And so it would be great if there are tools out there in this world where you can take away most of that privilege on any subject or any topic.
In order to not, you know, get people confused, we talked about one of our companies, the Buster Company, before. Now let's talk a bit more about the Superwomen and Super People Academy. Can you give us an idea of about what Superwomen Academy is about and how you work to advance diversity and inclusion before the COVID-19 pandemic? Because we will see that there's a difference now, but let's just pretend there was no COVID. What is Superwomen Academy and Super People Academy doing?
Superwomen and Super People Academy, and then became quickly Super People Academy as well, is a company that helps other companies to attract more diversity, to make sure that they're staying. So that's inclusion, otherwise they're not going to stay. And also to make sure that diversity that comes in can develop themselves just as easily and just as fast at the people of, like, say, the majority that is already there. And in that case, you should think about, you know, becoming a manager or becoming part of management or getting access to education and learning and development, which is very, very important to me. So that's what we do. And for big companies most of the time, and international companies. So that's why this interview is in English as well. So most of the people that I know can at least follow what I'm saying. We could do this in German too, but then like half of them wouldn't understand what I'm saying. So thank you for that.
And if I was able to speak Dutch, we could also do it in Dutch, but I'm the bottleneck here.
Yeah, but then, your target audience would be even smaller because there's just nobody out there that speaks Dutch apart from like 20 million Dutch people, but that's it.
That's right. So, you know, how did your offering from the academy look like before COVID?
Most of the times we would go to the company and then work side by side with them, either in trainings and workshops or in consulting. And so I traveled a lot. I was at least 2 or 3 days a week outside of my office, my home office. I would go travel to the client, and also I would be at least 3 days or more, even more often abroad because, like I said, we have international companies as our clients. So I had to travel a lot, which, by the way, I do miss.
Well, I think we all do. Mm-hmm. But then, you know, and there still is, came COVID, and you had to change the program of the academy to make it home office compatible. And, you know, Corona rules compatible. And you tried to use virtual reality, VR. Talked about AR, now let's talk about VR. What does your digital VR diversity and inclusion program look like now?
Well, first of all, we have a game, and that game is a board game. For obvious reasons, we couldn't do the board game anymore because of COVID. You couldn't come together, so you can't do a board game either. And so we needed an environment where you could still play that board game, but just not be physically in the room with the game. So I have a large network, and I remembered that there was somebody in there that knew everything about VR. And I asked her, well, hey, could this be a possibility? And then I found out about Mozilla Hubs. And Mozilla Hubs has one huge advantage over a lot of other VR stuff, is that you can visit a virtual reality room without glasses. Because again, with the logistics and everything, it would be very costly if I would find a solution, that VR solution, that you could only do with VR glasses. It does make things more fun and better if you use them, but it should be available to people that don't have the glasses or don't have access to those glasses. And so we did that first, and then I came into contact with Tim Dosen, who is my VR guy in Berlin, and he helped us to create even a D&I learning center within VR, and that also brings a lot of possibilities for companies to work across borders, but also across timelines, because for international companies, sometimes somebody stops working and then the other one is starting. So you can't really work together unless it's, you know, out of office hours. And that is a challenge, which you can bridge with VR.
So you build a VR board game and a VR training center.
Yep, we did.
So especially in the first, you know, weeks, months of the pandemic, there was a lot of discussion about whether you can really learn and collaborate as well remotely as you can in presence, especially when it comes to education and schools. What is your experience? Does the digital training, the VR collaboration work as well as the analog training where you used to travel to the companies that you were working with?
Well, yes and no. Because if you do a training or workshop, there's more than just making sure that the knowledge is delivered, accepted, and implemented. There's also a collaboration kind of aspect in there. You know, being together and working at the same thing makes people connect with each other on a deeper level. Usually there's also a personal thing in there. You did that too, you know, when you asked me for my personal biases. But we do that, in, you know, a good trainer does that and tries to connect on a personal level. And it's easier, or like, let me put it this way, it comes across better if you're face to face. But concerning to the learning part, I think it can be done remotely. But again, there is a difference between being there in a virtual room or just video call. Because especially when you're in large groups, a video call, it's not as easy to connect for the speaker with the people there, because there's just not a tool out there that can do that. When I deliver a training over like say Zoom, I always have an assistant that watches my chat box, and they, you know, we combine things. Otherwise, it's just really, really difficult. But in a VR room, you can sort of have an outer body experience, I always call it, and be there, and not just be there, but walk around and touch things. And so there's a difference between VR learning and video learning, I would say. And the latter is, to my opinion, better, because it involves more senses. The other one, you could just, you know, let somebody speak and do all kinds of other stuff. And if you're in VR, that's basically not possible, not only, but also because your Wi-Fi won't cope with you know, doing two things at the same time. So that works better. There's research done out there now. They're researching it now. And first results that I saw about that research is that when you, as an avatar, go into a classroom, there's a significant difference in how people absorb what's out there if you compare it to video conferencing.
So after so many months, you still sound happy about it. So I guess your experiences was good. Now let's look into the future. And you already did it earlier, but let's do it again for the closing up this podcast. If you're successful with all your work, then at some point, there will be no more discrimination, exclusion, and inequality in the workplaces of this world. How long do you think it will take until we reach this goal? And what will you do then?
Well, we have a BHAG on our website, which is called, that's short for Big Hairy Audacious Goal. And it says that I hope within 20 years, and I made that 5 years ago, that in within 20 years, I would love to have to quit my job because it's just, there's no use for it anymore. I'm going to be very pessimistic about that. I think it's possible to achieve that on gender diversity, but not all over the world, because there's just countries where they're just starting with it and or not even started with it. I mean, Saudi Arabia, the first thing that they did last year is that they allow women to drive a car, which is like the very basic thing out there. And they're way far from having gender equality over there. I don't think I'm gonna, in my working life, see that happening. But then again, if all of you listeners are gonna help me with it, things will be moving faster. I think if we can rock the boat like Me Too and Black Lives Matter, and I mean all the positive stuff about that, if we can rock that boat even harder, things will move faster. And maybe I'll see that happening. I'm hoping.
Well, we hope too. And all you guys listening out there, now it's up to you. Thank you so much, Benny, for this insight into your work. And thank you for your work on this very important topics. And good luck with the Bias Buster. I hope you keep us updated about the results and how the project is going on. And then we'll have another chat 1 year from now, maybe, and see how it worked out. Thank you, Wendy.
Well, thank you for having me. And I would love to come back and hopefully even be in there, come up with results even sooner than that. But yes, let's do it.
Great. Bye-bye.
Bye.
This was episode 24 of the New Realities podcast by 1E9 and the XR Hub Bavaria. If you want to find out more about Wendy's XR projects, check out the links in the podcast description. And if you like the podcast, rate, subscribe, and recommend. And now the credits. 1E9, that's the new home for future optimists who want to make the world a better place with new ideas and technologies. And apart from this podcast, it also consists of an online magazine, a community platform, and events. All information is available at 1E9.community. The XR Hub Bavaria was founded to promote the XR community in Bavaria, to support the development and distribution of XR applications, and also to promote the visibility of Bavaria as a business location. Learn more at xrhub-bavaria.de. This podcast is made possible by the support of the Bavarian State Ministry for Digital Affairs. Many thanks for that, and thanks also to Daniel Jocher, our sound engineer. And next time, we'll be talking in German again. Bye-bye. Hear you then.